Well, God loves us, and you know, you may not understand it. I certainly don't understand why God would love us so much, but He does. Amen? And more than anyone ever could love us, our God loves us. What a truth. What a principle. What a wonderful thought. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, would you go to Galatians chapter number 6 in your Bibles today, the book of Galatians and chapter number 6. It's so good to be back to my own pulpit. Amen. You may not understand this, but when a preacher hears preaching, it makes him want to preach. Right? Amen. Some of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. Amen. But it does that for me. Amen. There's something inside of me that just loves to take the Bible, open it, and give it to God's people. There's so many good things in there. There's so many clouds that can be chased away in our lives through the Word. And I want to be a cloud pusher. Amen. I want to be a cloud pusher in life. And I want people to see the sunshine. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read the first 9 verses of this passage this morning. I have to tell you, though, I think bribery is a sin, don't you? Do you think bribery is a sin? Now, this is 2 weeks in a row that this has happened, but the teens have brought me a donut from teen class. 2 weeks in a row. And it's not because they love their pastor. Amen. And it's probably not because they think I need it. Amen. They did it so I would preach shorter. Am I right? Yeah, see, I can tell right there. And last week I took a bite out of that, but I needed a drink of water when I got done with that. And so, but anyhow, I will eat that later on after I get done preaching my long sermon. All righty, Galatians 6. Let's begin this morning, verse number 1. I hope you follow along with me, please, as we read Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray this morning. God, we come to you this morning and just ask your great help and your great power to meet with us in this place this morning. We love you, Lord, but Lord, we thank you for loving us first. Before we could ever love you, Lord, you have loved us. And you taught us how to love. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Father, I ask that you'd bless as we open the passage of Scripture this morning and use it in our lives. And may you just be present and meet with us this morning in a wonderful way. We'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I read a story this week about a preacher that I think you'll find kind of funny. But I think it illustrates where I'm going with the message this morning. Let me read it. It takes a couple minutes here to read the story, but I think you'll see. A few years ago, the preacher said, I did some remodeling in my basement to stop some water from seeping through. I broke down and spent a small fortune for installing 2 sump pumps and a separate backup pump. I must say I was feeling pretty good about myself after the work was all done. Bring on the rain, I said to my wife. We're ready for it now. Sure enough, it wasn't long before my newly installed 3-pump system was put to the test. We woke up early one Sunday morning and realized the electricity had gone off during a huge storm. No problem, I thought, while I was lying in bed. I have a backup pump. Still, I decided to go check the system, more out of my pride in seeing my well-spent money at work than actually being concerned with the state of my basement. But to my dread and my dismay, I found the backup pump was not even on, and the water was steadily rising in the sump pump pit. I was mad. And when I tried to turn on the backup pump, I realized that the battery to the backup pump was dead. Here I had just spent a small fortune on waterproofing my basement, including the installation of 3 different pumps. And now my backup pump had a dead battery. So I decided to use an old car battery that I had in my garage. Now that battery was dead, and my backup pump could not function. Can you believe that? I paid thousands of dollars to have my basement remodeled, waterproofed, and I wouldn't even spend $75 for a new battery. Now that was my predicament. The water was continuing to rise, and my system still was not working. I was angry with myself over the dead battery. But then I remembered that I had a generator. Okies know what generators are, amen? I had a generator. I fired up the generator in my garage and I connected an extension cord to the sump pump to my generator. Immediately, the generator turned off. I tried to restart it multiple times, but it wouldn't start. After running some checks on the generator, I found that it was low on oil and had completely shut down. No problem, I thought. I've got some oil in the shed. After scouring through bottles of items I did not remember buying, I came to the dreadful understanding that I did not have any oil. So here I was, 5 a.m., Sunday morning, standing in my shed, wearing my pajamas, soaked to the bone. Knowing my basement was about to flood, realizing that the only thing to do was to drive to a gas station and buy a quart of oil. Finally, having returned with the needed oil after a 30-minute search for a gas station that opens at 5 a.m., and starting up the generator, I finally felt a sense of relief that the sump pump was working. As I walked in from the garage, drained from the havoc that morning, I realized that I would not be able to climb back in bed because now it was time to get ready and leave for church. How many ever had a Sunday morning kind of like that before? You ever had a Sunday morning like that? It's bad when you're a preacher, though, and you have a Sunday morning like that. He said, I do not recall being in a more foul mood while driving to church. For me, it was one of those Sundays that should have been canceled. You ever feel like that? Preacher, let's just cancel this Sunday. Amen? Yeah. He said, but I knew better than to continue nurturing my sour attitude. So I told my entire Sunday school class what happened. And apparently my woes helped them to feel better about any rotten attitude I had. And they soon began to comfort me and console me in the burden that I had. But I realized that day that I could not focus on my burden, but I had to focus on somebody else's burden. You see what was happening in that story? He had all these things, these burdens, these problems come upon him in life. But yet, he's a preacher and Sunday morning came and he had to get his focus off of his burden that day and put his eyes on somebody else's burden. Can I tell you, that's kind of where I'm going with the message today. Because we see in Scripture a command of God. He said here, to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. God has commanded us to carry other people's burdens. Now think about that with me for a minute. God has said that I'm supposed to carry your burdens and that you are supposed to carry my burdens. That person sitting down the pew from you, you're supposed to carry their burdens. And that person sitting in front of you, you're supposed to carry their burdens. And that person that you shake hands with in church this morning, God said you're supposed to bear their burdens, carry their burdens. Think about that for a minute. I'm supposed to bear somebody else's burdens. Interesting truth. But the truth is very important. Can I say, first of all, this morning that everybody has some burdens? Everybody has burdens. I may not know all your burdens, and you may not know all of mine, but I'll promise you, you have them. And there are some that you don't want to share with anybody else. But God knows them, doesn't he? God knows every one of those burdens that we carry, those things that weigh on us. Everybody has burdens. You know, I'll be honest. When I was a younger preacher, I used to be a little bit, I guess, impatient with Christians who just didn't grow like I thought they should. They didn't grow as fast as I thought they should. Man, they should be doing this. They should be doing that by now. And I think I was a little bit impatient. But something helped me with that. There was a man one day that came in for counseling. And he struggled with alcohol. He couldn't give it up. He couldn't let it go. Now, I grew up in a Christian home. We didn't have alcohol in our home. So I didn't understand really what the guy was going through. But he told me this story, and this is what touched my heart about his burdens. He said, preacher, he said, when I was a baby, when I was a child, my mother used to put beer in my baby bottle. And she'd feed me beer and give me beer. And as I would stagger around, I'm talking about a toddler, and as I would stagger and rolled around, they'd all laugh at me. They'd all laugh at me because they thought it was funny. And here was this man now, grown man, and he's struggling. He had a burden on him. He wanted to give that up. He wanted a different life, but it was a burden that he carried, and he couldn't overcome it in life. I want to tell you something. There are people that have things in their life that were not given to them, but they are part of their life that are a burden. And there's some people that live with burdens. They'll live with that burden till the day they die. And God has commanded us as Christians to say, you know what? Let's carry somebody else's burden. Let's lift somebody else's burden. Let's pick their load up a little bit. Let's carry. God's commanded us to do that. And he said in verse 1, ye which are spiritual, restore one another in a spirit of meekness. He didn't say put blame or point the finger or judge. Amen. He didn't say that. He said, ye which are spiritual, restore them, help them. Be a blessing to them. Encourage them. Do whatever you can. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. In other words, bring them back in to the fold, because they have burdens that I cannot imagine or understand. We have a dear family friend that lived in Wyoming. They had two sons. Both of their sons, one drowned in a tragic accident, and their second son died in a horrible car accident. Both of their sons was taken from them, and they died old people with no grandchildren. And they're just the sweetest people in the world. You know, I got to thinking, I wonder what they deal with every day. I wonder what burdens. I wonder what burdens they carry every day. And I got to thinking, I don't have that burden. I don't have that to overcome. I don't have that problem. But I got to thinking, you know, God wants us as Christians to bear somebody else's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are burdens that everybody has, but you know, can I tell you what a church is for? A church is a place where you can come and have somebody else, Lord willing, lift up your burdens and help you with your burdens. Amen? I mean, it could be a million different things. It could be a lady. I've helped ladies before who can't move their refrigerator, or a widow who can't move a freezer. I need your help. Can I tell you, when you put that in the new freezer, in the new place, can I tell you what? That widow looks at you and says, thank you so much. Amen. And then hopefully she'll feed some cookies to me afterwards. Right? You say, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say, there's a million different ways God's people can lift somebody else's burdens. And that's what God wants us to do. Because you carry them. You carry them. You carry burdens. Sometimes people will share with me their burdens, and sometimes they don't. But God knows them all. And God has them all in his mind and in his heart. And God has said that if we can, we should be bearing one another's burdens. You know, this preacher that I read this story about, he had his own burdens. He had his own burdens, but it felt good when some of his own teenagers, he didn't expect it, but it felt good when some of his own teenagers came to him and lifted his burden a little bit, made his load a little lighter. And can I say to you today that there are so many people that have burdens that if we're just aware, we can carry somebody else's burden. We can carry it. Second of all, God has called us to bear one another's burdens and not focus on our own. Oh, I get guilty of that. I got my list to do today, and I'm busy, and I've got things to do, and somebody comes right in the middle of my scheduled day. How dare they call me with a need in the middle of the day? I'm busy. You know what God says? That's an opportunity to fulfill Scripture. That's a chance to say, all right, somebody's got a burden. Somebody's got a need. Somebody's got a trouble. And you know what? They need somebody to carry their burden. They need somebody to carry their burden. It's so easy to focus on our own burdens, right? God is saying, God's trying to take us out of this world of looking at our own burdens and focusing on somebody else's burdens. Now, there's a point to it that's so valuable that by the end of the sermon, I hope you get where I'm going with it, because God's saying, take your focus off of your burdens and put your focus on somebody else's burdens. Remember that Good Samaritan in the Bible? You remember him? He's walking along one day, minding his own business, going, doing his thing, and no doubt he had to get somewhere. And he looked alongside the road, and he saw this man who was beat up and wounded. And two others, the Levite and the priest, they walked on the other side. They left him alone. But this Samaritan saw this guy beat, and he was wounded. And you know what he did? At his own cost, at his own expense, he picked that man up. He put him on his donkey. He carried him to an inn. He paid the innkeeper to, take care of him and to give him what he needed. He put a delay on his own life, if you will, for a little while. He put a hold on his schedule, on his day, so that he could help somebody he didn't even know. And by the way, this passage is more important because Jews and Samaritans hated each other. Jews called the Samaritans dogs. That's how much they hated each other. But yet this Samaritan came and found this Jew. He was beaten, wounded, and he paid of his own self. You see, that's the spirit that God's trying to teach us. And there's a reason why he's trying to teach it to us that I'll get to here in just a minute. But he said, you know, I get focused in on my feelings. I wish somebody would know how I feel. Right? I know you folks never do that. Amen? But I wish somebody would know how I feel. I wish somebody would care about me how I feel. Amen? And I get focused on me, and the more I focus on me, the more miserable I get, and the bigger my problem gets. It just grows the more I think about myself. Well, I wish somebody would care about me. Somebody else got a new this, that, or the other. I wish I could get a new this, that, or the other. You know? But, you know, God's told us to get our focus and our feelings off of our own burdens. Now, if you're not used to doing that, that's not easy. But there's a reason why God tells us that, and it's for a great benefit. Number three, you know, culture and society today will not teach us to bear somebody else's burdens. You won't learn this principle from the world, because the world's idea is, I deserve better than what I've got. I'm good. All the world can do is focus on them, what they want. And you know, our government caters to this mentality today. If you, I have a problem, so government, you better come up with the money to pay me for it. And by the way, our people, once they do, are people any happier? Are people really joyful? No, they just want more. When you focus on your own burdens and your own problems, you will never be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied. So God says, all right, I'm going to teach you how to be satisfied in life. I'm going to teach you to take your eyes off of your burdens and put your eyes on somebody else's burdens. Can I show you how it works? Here's how I think it works. I got a couple of burdens back here. Really, I haven't unpacked since youth conference, to be honest with you. But I got a couple of burdens here. So I'm going to carry, I'm going to put a burden on. Oh, I got me a burden here. It's a little harder to preach with this one, amen? Carry it on me. I think I got some old socks, shoes in there from this week, amen? I got me a burden on my back. And this backpack represents a burden, okay? Caleb, come on up here. Now, Caleb's got a burden too. You want this burden? Okay, he's got a burden. He's got a burden, and I got a burden. Now, we both can decide what we're going to do with our burden, right? Well, I'm just going to look at my burden. I'm not going to look at his burden. I'm going to focus on my burden. My burden's heavy. My burden's tough. You probably don't have anything in yours. My burden's the real burden. I got it really tough. I got it really bad in life. I'm miserable. Look at my, I wish you'd start focusing on my burden. I wish you'd want to lighten my load a little bit. Let me show you what God does through this. God takes our burdens. He says, you know what? Carry somebody else's burden. Now, this doesn't make sense, does it? Now I got two burdens. Are you with me? I got his burden. I got my. I can't always get rid of my burden. In fact, the Bible even tells us that some burdens we should bear our own burden too. But this doesn't make sense.
why does it make sense that God told me I've got a burden and I should bear his burden? What if he got the same mentality? What if he learned the same principle? He'd come along and say, preacher, can I carry your burden? So come over here and say, preacher, can I carry your burden?
Preacher, can I carry your burden?
Hey, that sounds good. Okay. I'm undressing here. Sorry, folks. Did you got my burden? I'm glad you got it, because I got another burden now. All right. Okay, go back over there. Now, look at what happened. We just traded burdens. We just traded burdens. You say, now, preacher, that don't make sense. You already had a burden. Why don't you just stick with your burden and let him stick with his? Because I'll tell you why. I now am carrying a burden, but I've got joy in my heart. Because I'm carrying his. And now he has joy in his heart. He has the same burden. But he has joy in his heart now because he's not carrying his own burden. He's not focused on his own burden. He's not focused on my burden. And Christian, can I tell you, this is exactly how God wants us to live. You may not be able to get rid of your burden, but the point of burdens is that there is joy to be found in carrying burdens. It's scriptural. Look at the verse. Verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not others. There's joy when I carry this burden. And it makes me feel a lot better than when I carried my own. Can I tell you, some people really have a hard time with this. And that's why they're miserable and unhappy, is because their focus is on their burdens. I got news for you. You're going to carry some burdens in life. It's inescapable. But I'd rather carry somebody else's burdens with joy and trust that somebody else will help lift my burdens. Because that's what brings joy. Amen. You know, Jesus said, give and it shall be given. You don't get by getting, you get by giving. When you give, you find not only joy in it, but what you give goes to a purpose, and God returns it back to you. You talk about a win-win situation. That's what giving does. And burdens work the same way. When I lift somebody else's burdens, it's amazing how somebody else is going to come along and lift my burden. You say, preacher, I have a lot of burdens. Then don't you think you ought to start lifting somebody else's burdens? By the way, just the very fact that I'm able to take my focus off of my burdens and put them on somebody else's lifts my burden. Amen. It lifts my burden. It'll lift your burden too. It'll lift your burden too. I'm simply saying to you, joy is found in carrying somebody else's burdens. Misery is found carrying your own. And you know, Christians, this is why we pray for each other. This is why we pray for each other, because somebody needs you to intercede to God on their behalf because they have a burden. They have a burden. And they may not share it with you, but they have them. They have them. So God's saying, take your burden. Take your eyes and your focus off yourself and find somebody else's burden. Now, it's an amazing thing what happens. He talks about sowing and reaping in the same passage. Did you catch that? Sowing and reaping. Notice what he says here. Verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, if you plant corn, don't expect to get tomatoes. Right? Because what you planted is what you receive back. Right? What you put in is what you're going to get in return. And that's why we trade burdens with other people. It's because when I carried his burdens, somebody's touched to carry mine. Just like that preacher. He had a burden. He told his youth group, and the youth group went to him and tried to encourage him to lift his burden a little bit. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say that somebody else has got a burden. Somebody else is carrying something. And the way to make your burdens lighter is to carry theirs a little bit. Carry theirs a little bit. And don't be surprised if somebody will come along and lift your burden a little bit. You know why? Because what you sow, you will reap. If you lift somebody else's heartache or somebody else's burden, go to somebody and tell them, I'm praying for you. I got you on my prayer list and I prayed for you today. I'm praying for you. By the way, this is one reason God's called us to be soul winners. God's called every Christian to be a soul winner. If you're not a soul winner, I want to tell you something. You are missing out on this principle. And here's how it works. Because when you see somebody else in sin, it's because God pulled you out of sin and saved your soul. And now you are returning in the law of sowing and reaping. You are returning what God did in your heart. Sowing and reaping. I love it. When you give the gospel to somebody else, you are trying to lift their burden of sin that God would like to take and cleanse and wash it in his blood and save that soul. God wants to do that. Why? Soul winning is burden lifting. It's burden lifting. Thank God for soul winners. And you know what? There's somebody that you only can reach that I can't reach. There's somebody you can talk to that I can't talk to. There's somebody for you that you can lift their burden of sin. All right. You look pretty good in that. But I'll take it off of you now, right? Now you don't have to smell my dirty clothes from the week anymore. Amen. Thank you, Caleb. Good job. So what are you saying? I'm simply saying bearing one another's burdens. Now I want to show you one more thing. And we'll close this morning. I want to show you one more thing about this. Notice verse 2. Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. Now look at the next phrase. And so fulfill the law of Christ. What? What does that mean? Bear one another's burdens, and by it I'm fulfilling the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Let me tell you the law of Christ. There's one day God in heaven looked down. He saw man was full of sin. And that man was hopeless to redeem his burden of sin. And that he needed a sinless substitute to come to this earth and pay for those sins. It was God's way, and it's the law of God to spiritually come down to this earth and to die on that old rugged cross to shed his blood, because what he was doing, he was lifting and eliminating your burden of sin. He was pulling your sin away. He was paying for it in his blood. He was purchasing it. So that you don't have to carry that burden. But that burden of sin, he came along and he took that burden of sin and he took it all on himself. And when he hung on that cross, he took all the shame. He took all the guilt of the sin. He took all the pain and all the heartache that sin brought, and he paid for it in his blood on the cross. He took your burden of sin. He carried it on that old rugged cross. So you don't have to carry the burden of sin with you through this life. You can be redeemed. You can be set free. He lifted your burden. That's the law of Christ. He pulled your backpack of sin off. I'm glad one day I was carrying a backpack full of sin. It was heavy. It was weighty. And I couldn't carry it any longer. I got tired and I got weary. And I found no other place that I could put it. But I'll tell you, there was an old rugged cross there that had blood stained. It was full of blood. And I found that Jesus said, "Give me your burden. Give me your sin." I took my backpack of sin and I laid it at the cross of Jesus Christ. He carried my burden, and I get to go to heaven because of it. I get to be saved. I get to know I'm washed in the blood. I get to know I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise God. My burden's been lifted. All because the law of Christ taught me that when God lifted our burdens, now, and by the way, out of that same spirit is the same spirit that I can lift your burden. And others can lift, you can lift others' burdens. You can lift others' burdens and help them because somebody one day came and took your great burden and paid for it on an old rugged cross. I'm glad he did, aren't you? I'm so glad God paid for my sins. He wrote a blank check on my sins. Whatever those sins were, I'll pay for them. And he suffered. He bled, he died, so that I don't have to pay for those sins. I'm glad God carried my burden. He carried my debt. And maybe it's you today. Maybe it's you today that's got some weight of sin in your heart, in your life, and it's heavy, and you're getting tired of carrying it. And it's weighing you down. Can I tell you what? There's an answer for it. You can take that burden of sin. And by the way, it doesn't matter where you've done. It doesn't matter what depths you've gone to. It doesn't matter. It just matters one thing, that God is able to take your burdens and to cleanse them and to wash them all away. And if you'll open your heart to him, he'll come and trust you. He'll come and save you. He'll put his stamp of approval, and he'll lift your burden, and he'll set you free from that sin. Amen. Amen. God will do that for you today. He'll lift your burdens of sin. Now I wonder, maybe you're here today. I wonder, maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've never had that burden of sin lifted. I've been carrying it around a long time." You know, some people carry their sin with them all through life when they don't need to. God said, "I'll take it. You can give it to me. I'll pay for it. I'll set you free." That's the law of Christ. And if you'll receive him today, God will save you. He'll give you a home in heaven. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that God loved me and he loved you so much that he was willing to go to that cross, to die, to shed his blood, because only his blood could pay for my sins. And when he did, he bought your freedom and mine from the burden of sin and guilt. And friend, today you can receive him. If you don't know him, would you open your heart today? Would you pray that sinner's prayer and trust Christ? You can do it today. Let's bow our heads this morning.